I just don't know. I just don't know. It was a common response among many in Jesus' day. I just don't know. I mean, who was he? To many, he looked like just a regular guy, ordinary looking, not some freak athletic specimen or the world's most handsome man, just an ordinary, regular guy. And why did he come? I mean, think about that. Why did he come? A lot of people thought, I don't know. I mean, there's no denying that he could perform miracles. Lame people everybody knew to be lame, getting up and walking. Blind people everybody knew to be blind, suddenly able to see. Lepers, and believe me, people knew who the lepers were, cured. Interestingly enough, even the mentally ill, the Bible tells us, healed. I mean, you can't deny that. But how do you explain it? I just don't know. And the people that he tended to hang out with, I mean, these were not the best. These were the social outcasts, the tax collectors, sinners, sick. Not exactly the crowd that helps you create a movement. And yet, could he ever attract a crowd? People from all walks of life nearly trampled each other just trying to get near him. The crowds, in fact, grew so large that the Bible tells us he could no longer enter towns and cities. Sometimes he taught from a boat because the crowd was so huge it pressed him to the very shore. And so the people would gather on the banks as he taught from a boat. And what he taught, man, it was different. He made it sound like we're all responsible for taking care of each other, love each other, help people in need, care for the less fortunate. But who was he? And why did he come? I just don't know. You know, when you think about it, those two questions, who was he and why did he come, they're still being asked today. In fact, there are undoubtedly some here this morning in a crowd this size who are looking at those two questions, and if they answered honestly, their answer would be, I just don't know. Who was he? Why did he come? You know, there are different views that are held by many in our culture today, different answers to these questions about Jesus, and they're the same questions that have been around since he was here. And for some, the answer is, we can't really know for sure. I mean, who Jesus was or why he came, I mean, think about it. You weren't there. I wasn't there. I didn't see him perform any miracles. You didn't hear him teach. So how can we really know for sure? I mean, you know, this book contains four biographies of Jesus. We call them the Gospels, which is another word for the good news. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're all books in here that talk about him. But can we really trust this book? I mean, think about it. Is it an accurate or reliable historical record of Jesus' life? And for some, the answer is, no, we can't know that for sure. We don't really know who Jesus was. And for some, the answer is, well, you know what? We know he taught good moral principles. But that's all, okay? Let's be honest. There's simply too much historical evidence about what he taught and about how his teachings impacted the world in which he lived and continues to impact millions of people worldwide today. So no one can deny that he existed, and nobody can really deny what he taught because it's too obvious. Okay? And you know something else? Nobody can deny that if everyone lived by his teachings, the world would be a better place. I mean, that's just a fact. So denying the biblical accounts of what he taught is really kind of unreasonable when you think about it realistically. I mean, that part wouldn't make sense. But the miracles, I mean, healing people, casting out demons, raising the dead, probably made up by his followers, you know? Great teacher, sure, good moral principles, no doubt about it. But other than that, just an ordinary guy. A lot of people think that. But for others, there's another view. A lot of people think, you know what? We know he was who he said he was. And he said he was God in the flesh. Not just a healer, and not just a great teacher, but the Son of God. And any reasonable person has to admit that that's what he claimed to be, right? I mean, just think about it. That's what got him killed, right? Nobody killed him for raising a dead person. Nobody killed him for healing a leper. Nobody killed him for making the blind see. Nobody killed him for his moral teaching. They killed him because he claimed to be the Son of God, which was supported by the supernatural miracles and the teaching. You see, it wasn't just a show. It just wasn't, look at me. It was, I'm the Son of God, and here's the proof. And I know what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, wait a minute, Jeff, you weren't there. You didn't see any of this stuff happen. How can you know the Bible is reliable and it's true? I wasn't there, and neither were you. I've only read about it in this book. But I submit to you that there are tons of reasons for believing the Bible is historically accurate, and it's a historically accurate account of Jesus' life and his work that we can rely on. And we've covered many of those reasons in past lessons. And if you'd like to access those lessons online, just put your name and your contact information on one of those communication cards and write the word Bible on it in real big letters. And I'll send you the information this week on how you can access those lessons where we dive into why you should believe this is reliable history. Unless, of course, you decide that it's reasonable to reject all history that you didn't personally witness. I mean, think about it. You didn't see the Revolutionary War, right? There are no photos. There's no video. There's only written accounts and paintings made after the fact. So does that mean you can't know for sure the American Revolution happened? Permit me to remind you, you are living in America, okay? Today we're beginning a four-week lesson series entitled Go with Jesus. And for the next 4 weeks, what we're going to do leading up to Easter is we're going to go with Jesus as he goes about his ministry. And today's lesson is entitled Go with Jesus to a lost and hurting world. And our focus verse for this series is a Bible verse found in the book of Acts, which comes right after those four biographies of Jesus. And it's up here on the screen, and we're all going to recite this together. Here we go. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God appointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now think about that. Think about what it's saying there. Let's recite it again. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God appointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Now think about what this is saying. It's saying there's a God who appointed this Jesus that we know as Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing. And notice this. Not only do you have this good, but it says healing all who are oppressed by the devil. In other words, you have this good in evil that exists in the world. It says, and went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It's like God sent him into the world, a world that is fractured and broken and lost and hurting. And he sent him into this world so he would go about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have to look into your word. A time when we can think about this life that Jesus led and how he ministered. And Father, it's our hope and prayer that we would live as he lived, that we'd make it a point to go where Jesus went and to go with him into the world in which we live. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now, friends, to answer this question, okay, why did Jesus come? We're going to look at the first of those four biographies. Remember I said that there's four biographies in the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we're going to look at the book of Matthew. Now, you have to understand, and many of you have been doing the daily Bible reading plan, and you've read through those first four books already, if you've been staying with the daily plan. And you notice that there's some differences. Seems almost like there's a different perspective at times. And you have to understand that there are different perspectives because they're writing to different audiences. First of all, Matthew was writing to a specifically Jewish audience, while John, if you get to his book, was writing to a very Greek audience. And they have a very different focus. Matthew focuses a lot of his book on the Galilean ministry, which is in the northern part of Palestine, while John focuses his attention on Jesus' ministry in the south of the country, down in an area we know as Judea. Now, today's verses take place at the beginning of Jesus' Galilean ministry, which was the focus of Matthew's book. And it happens right after Jesus is baptized, and then he's tempted by the devil in the wilderness, and then he begins to choose his first apostles. And then Matthew begins with a summary statement about Jesus and this circular tour that he made through the area we know as Galilee. And in a few short sentences, Matthew gives us an overview of why Jesus came. Let's look at what he said. It said, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee. Now, the region of Galilee, and we're going to show you on a map in just a moment, was this area in the northern part of what we now know as Palestine. The area where Jesus grew up, the city of Nazareth, is there in Galilee, as was his headquarters when he began his ministry, a city called Capernaum, which is located, that body of water there is the Sea of Galilee. And that's where this area of the country got its name. It says he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. Now, if you're not familiar with what a synagogue was a place where the Jewish people would meet in each town for instruction and for worship services on the weekend. Now, many of you have heard of the temple. That was actually located down in the southern part of the country. in the city of Jerusalem, and people were required to go there and sacrifice at certain times of the year. But the rest of the year, as they remained in their own towns, they met in the synagogues for instruction in the scriptures. And it says this, and he healed every kind of disease and illness. News about him spread as far as Syria, and people soon began bringing to him all who were sick. And whatever their sickness or disease, or if they were demon-possessed or epileptic or paralyzed, he healed them all. Large crowds followed him wherever he went, people from Galilee, the 10 towns, Jerusalem, and from all over Judea, and from east of the Jordan River. Now, friends, as you kind of look at this map, the area of Galilee is where Jesus is ministering. But you begin to see the impact that he was having because people began to come from an area known as Syria, which was on the northeastern part of the Sea of Galilee. And not just Syria, but also from an area known as the Ten Towns, which was on the east side of that line going down through there is actually the Jordan River. So people were coming from beyond the Jordan River to see him. And then also from Judea and Jerusalem. Now, Judea was in the area, the region where Jerusalem was located. It was in the south of the country. And you have to understand that Jerusalem, if you're going from Jerusalem to Capernaum, it's about a 90-mile trip. Okay, this is a pretty huge area of land that people are attracted to in coming to Jesus from. Pretty wide area of land, especially when you consider the fact that they're traveling on foot. And Jesus is making this tour, and people are coming. Why? Because he was healing people right and left and teaching. And what was he teaching? It says, Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news. Circle that phrase, the good news. The good news, it says, about the kingdom. And the first thing that Jesus came to do is to teach you and I the good news. The good news. But what is that? What is that? Jesus said it this way. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Circle the word lost, if you would, please. The Son of Man, which was a reference Jesus often made to himself, came to seek and to save the lost. Now, think of these words he's using. He came to seek. In other words, he came looking and to save. In other words, these lost people needed a Savior. And he says that he came to seek and to save the lost. And I can imagine what some of you are thinking. Some of you are thinking, wait, Jeff, I'm not lost. I'm not lost. I'm living my life just the way I want. Okay, what are you talking about, needing a Savior? I don't get that. But shift your perspective for just a moment. Parents, I think you all understand this. Anybody that's ever had a child. Imagine that you had a child that you love with all your heart. And you raise him or her the very best that you know how, teaching that child everything that you know and trying to instill in that child the values and the beliefs that you have. And then one day that child goes off the rails. Something happens. And for whatever reason, that child walks away from your beliefs and your values, and leaves and goes away, and you don't have contact with that child, and that child is lost to you. And imagine how you would feel, the heartbreak and the anguish that would overpower you, and you would realize that you would do anything in your power to get that child back because they're lost. And friends, that's how God feels about us. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 5, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. And Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. And I don't know about you, maybe you don't buy that whole story of Adam and Eve. Maybe you're one of those people that finds that real hard to believe. But I don't think you'll find it very hard to believe that the world is a messed up place. Right? I mean, it's pretty obvious that something's wrong, right? All you got to do is pick up a newspaper, and it doesn't take you long to figure out that bad things are happening. And how many times do we hear people say, what's wrong with the world? And the Bible indicates that sin came into the world and shattered God's perfect creation. And it says here, Adam sinned and sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone. And some of you are probably thinking, okay, what's up with that? I mean, so Adam sinned. Why am I paying for that? But notice what it says there at the end of that sentence. For everyone sinned. You know, we're all made of the same stuff Adam was. And we all have the very same propensity to go our own way. To sin. And because of that sin, evil and death came into the world. But notice what it goes on to say, and here's the good news. But there's a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. Death and separation from God and decay in the world. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. This is the good news. Christ came to bring God's grace. And the result of God's gracious gift is very different from the result of that one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being, circle these two words, made right. Made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. You see, it's not because of what we do or all the good works that we might do. This is about being made right with God through Jesus Christ. And friends, the good news can be summarized like this. You and I are lost without him. We're lost. We're separated from God. We're living in sin without him. But the good news is that through him, I can be made right with God. Through Jesus Christ, you and I can be made right with God. This is God's gracious gift to us. And friends, that's why in a couple of weeks we're going to be having a baptism celebration, and people who have made that decision to be made right with God through Jesus Christ will be getting baptized in 2 weeks. And friends, if you want to be a part of that, or if you just want to understand more about that, just mark that box on the back of your communication card and turn that in, and we'll get a hold of you this week. And we'll talk with you about that. But friends, don't delay. Don't put that one off. Put that decision on the front burner. Now it goes on to say this. He healed every kind of disease and illness. People from all over began bringing to him all who were sick, and whatever their sickness or disease, demon possession, epilepsy, paralysis, he healed them all. And think about what Jesus is doing. He came to show you and I God's compassion. His compassion. In fact, the Bible says this in Matthew 9. It says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You see, Jesus had compassion on you and I and people just like us. Because he said we're like sheep without a shepherd. And that's why he came, to show us God's love and his compassion. And friends, if you and I follow him, we must show God's compassion to others. See, that's why he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. He knew that there were more people that needed to be reached with the good news. And not only that, but when you think about why Jesus came, he came to demonstrate God's passion for you and for me. God's passion is his heart. Think of that example that I used earlier of a parent whose child goes away. You would go after that child. You would seek that child. You would try to save that child. And the Bible tells us this: when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Now think about this, friends. God sent his son into the world knowing that some would accept and some would reject. Knowing that some would accept that grace and some would not. And yet he sent his son into the world for everyone. Friends, that's passion. That's a heart filled with love. And the question for us this morning, friends, is this: will you and I go with Jesus to a lost and hurting world? Will we do as Jesus did? And will we go with Jesus into a lost and hurting world? Now, friends, this morning, I want to talk to you for a little bit about what it means to go into a lost and hurting world. And what I want to do is I want to introduce you to something that maybe some of you have not heard about. We talked about this quite a bit at our vision night, but it's something that we're calling the Hillsborough Not As Usual Project. I'm going to have a couple guys come up here on the stage with me this morning. Ron Hennison, who is our mission director, and J.D. Lyle, who is our operations administrator. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this thing we're calling the Hillsborough Not As Usual Project. And it involves us as a church family going into our world with the love of Jesus Christ. Now, first of all, guys, where did this Hillsborough Not As Usual idea come from?
Well, a couple things, really. I mean, obviously, GNG has used the phrase "church not as usual" for the entirety of its existence, and so as this idea formed, really for me, in one way, this was an idea that's been brewing for several years. I read this book in grad school about how to effectively kind of do missions within your local community. And to some degree, I'd had some ideas about how I could do that, and I've tried to do a few things in my neighborhood here and there, but I always felt kind of overwhelmed about how I could make a difference in the area around me. And so really, for me, it was a conversation with Ron, because Ron does a wonderful job of leading our missions department here at GNG. And I just kind of sat down with him one day, and we just started talking about what it would look like for GNG to target a specific area of Hillsborough and just invest in it and engage with it. And throw our organizational weight and energy and money and time and effort into one specific area of the community, because serving all of Hillsborough and serving everybody in it just seemed like a really huge thing to try to do. But just if we could target down on a small area of Hillsborough and focus in on it and see what kind of impact God would allow us to have. And it was really cool because, and I'll let Ron take this over, because right after we just kind of had this conversation, like, Ron, what would it look like to have us focus our energies around one section of town to just try to make a difference and make life better for the people? He actually bumped into someone that he went to high school with at Holtfield, I think it was, right, Ron?
Yes.
And the conversation centered around this, the fact that this guy was running for the
city council.
And Ron, why don't you take it over? It was a pretty cool discussion.
Yeah, we kind of met just crossing, and he was running for city council, and I just kind of, encouraged him and asked him, what do you want to do? And he said the biggest thing that he wanted to do was try to improve the life in Hillsborough for the community as a whole.
And it was cool because he lives in the same section,
yes,
of town I do. And he made the comment to Ron, and I thought this was fascinating. He said, I'm running for city council in one of the least resourced, in other words, the people in it have the lowest socioeconomic status in Hillsborough, and one of the higher crime rates in the area of Hillsborough. And so we just kind of started talking about, well, maybe that's one way to go. And when we looked at it, Hillsborough is actually bisected into four quadrants. And the southeast portion of Hillsborough is that Ward 4, and it's the area that I live in, and it's the area that this guy was running for city council. And to kind of top it all off, if Good News Gathering was 50 yards that way, we would be in Ward 4. And all these things kind of came together to give us some thought to maybe trying something and to make life different in this area of Hillsborough.
Okay. Well, we'll get to the project details in just a moment. But why did we decide to take on this project this year? Why was that important?
Well, one of the things was we've noticed over the past few years how big the free cells have grown. And we just want to be a church without walls. So we just want to, we do a lot of that in here. We see the people come in. We see who we can help. So we're just going to take down the walls and go.
I think one of the things that jumped out at us all last year was we focused so much energy in our lessons. For instance, last year on growing and understanding the Bible and delving into kind of a more growth-related year. And as we went through the year, I know you and I had some discussions, Dad, in the office about, next year, this has been so important for us. We feel like diving deeply into the Bible and learning and growing through all of last year's lessons were really important, but we had the sense that, we need to make sure that our focus stays out. And as we kind of talk through the idea for the Go series this year, that all of this whole year is going to be centered around this idea of going and getting out and making sure we're staying focused on our community, that we would focus a lot of energy on actually doing stuff outside and going into our community with our love and our time and our talent and our resources. And so that was, I think, an important thing for us too.
Okay. Now, once again, let's make sure everybody gets this picture. Why did we decide to focus on Ward 4 specifically?
Well, I mean, to start with, technically, if we were 50 meters that way, we would be in Ward 4. So Ward 4 is technically our backyard. It's the southeast side of Hillsborough. And so that's the start.
That's our neighborhood.
It's effectively our neighborhood.
Okay.
And really, the Johnson Street area, which is the center of Ward 4. If you take all of that Ward 4 area and you kind of look for the center is Johnson Street. And so we just kind of were like, hey, this is our backyard. This is our neighborhood. Where would we want to go? And we figure the best way to make a difference is to start in the center and see what happens.
Okay. Now, Ron, what's the goal here? What are we trying to achieve?
I think the biggest goal is just sharing God's love in the community. In Matthew 19:19, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So that's what this church is all about, and that's basically the goal.
Okay. Now, this project is really kind of already underway. Some things have been happening already. Yes. And so explain to the folks what things have been happening and what kind of impact you guys have seen already.
Okay, we started actually back in November. The life group that I belong to, we were trying to figure out things to do. So what we did was we started out on a Saturday morning, and we gave them a packet, and we just laid it on their porches that had the announcement for the free sale. So it was just kind of letting them know about the free sale. The next month, we went back out again, and we gave them a movie night on us. We gave them a
Redbox.
A Redbox coupon for a free movie and some popcorn. So we do that, and then we went out again, and we actually gave them some cocoa mix and a Kroger card. So we gave them a $10 Kroger card, and it's not that we're trying to buy them in. It's just that when we started this, leadership gave us a really good kind of way to start it, because we had these big dreams of going in and having concerts and all that stuff. But they said, let's just go in slow and non-threatening, because we are non-threatening. So that's how we went about it. We just went in nice and slow each month and did something small.
See, the cool thing is Johnson Street is it's just one, it's a couple of blocks long. And there's houses on both sides, and then there's actually a trailer court right off of it. And so what we just simply did, Ron and I, you know, we just kind of went through that section of town, counted up all the houses and residences, and we just started doing these drop-offs to everybody in the neighborhood, and the impact was felt pretty quickly.
Okay. Describe that. You guys have a couple of stories about the impact that you've already seen.
Okay. Mine was pretty cool. I got to work one day, and one of the co-workers, she said, can I talk to you? And I didn't really know what was going on. But her son actually lives on Johnson Street, and he went over to their house and said, did you get one of these packets? And they said no, because they live in a different ward. So they got to talking, and one of the comments that he made was that he doesn't go to church. He really is not sure if he believes, but he said, if I go to church, that's a church I'm going to.
You know, it was interesting. So we did the first drop off in late November, right before the free sale, and then we've done one every month of the year so far, and we did the one in January, and it was cool because we stood up here on Vision Night, so the last Sunday in January, and talked about this project, talked about what we were going to do, and engaged the Vision Night audience in that. Completely unbeknownst to me, that morning there had already been two first-time guests from Johnson Street. They turned in communication cards and did the whole deal. That was pretty cool. But probably my favorite story so far just happened about a week and a half ago. I had a guy, as the operations administrator, whenever like a salesman comes in, effectively I'm the one that gets to deal with them. You know, so this salesman, insurance, church insurance salesman comes rolling through.
Because I won't.
Because he won't. So this church insurance salesman comes rolling through town, and he stops out here, and he's like, yeah, I'd like to talk to somebody. Well, mercifully, I was out of the office at the moment at another meeting. So I come back for the staff meeting, and Kathy, our administrative person, hands me this big packet of information, says, hey, this guy wants to call you. Well, I hadn't done it yet. So the next day I get a follow-up email from the guy saying, hey, I'd really like to talk to you about selling you some insurance. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to put this guy off the trail. So I sent him back this real nice email saying, thanks, but no thanks. We have great insurance. We really have a good relationship with our provider, you know, thanks, but no thanks. So I thought it would be done. Literally the next day, he sends me another email. And he goes, hey, neat coincidence, all right, because he works out of Cincinnati. He was like, I was actually in South Lebanon on another stop, and I decided to get my hair cut at a Great Clips. He said, so I'm talking to the lady cutting my hair, and she's talking about how she has to drive an hour to work. And he says, well, that's interesting. Where are you coming from? She said, Hillsborough. And he's like, wow. He said, no kidding. I was just there the other day. I was stopping at a church. There's a really nice church out there called Good News Gathering. If you have a chance, you might want to stop out. And he said, no joke, JD. She went on and on and on about how awesome your church is because she lives in this neighborhood down by Ponderosa, and you guys have already dropped her off a red box code. You've dropped her off a free gas card, and it was just like awesome. And then he said midstream, she goes, you know what? I'm going to go out there. I'm going to check it out. So if you're here, that's awesome. And we're really excited to have you here today. If you're not here, we hope you show up sometime. But that was just a really cool moment for me. I'm like, literally, I didn't even talk to the guy. And yet he writes me back to tell me about this story, about this person who obviously lives over in the Johnson Street area who's been blessed by this project. And the cool thing is we've had a couple of people already show up here, or at least say they were gonna show up here, and we haven't even done a lot of the things that we are hoping to do with this project. So those little random acts of kindness have been helpful so far, but there's a lot left to do.
Okay. Let's talk about what's next. You've got a focus group meeting coming up on March 17th. Tell us what that is.
We haven't really had conversation with the residents. It's basically dropping things off. We had a lady drive by in a car and say, what are you doing? So we gave her a bag. But we've intentionally invited some residents to come here next Saturday. Basically, they're either homeowners or they own their home and live on that street. There's a lot of rentals. So we've selected some folks to come out. And this whole project moving forward is based on what they need. So we're just going to sit down and talk to them and say, what do you guys need? What can we do for you? So that's going to be our first real, you know, heart-to-heart, eye-to-eye thing. And just ask that you pray that they show up and that we have a good communication.
Yeah, I think our hope really is to just engage them and
partner with them.
Partner with them, really, to effectively allow them to tell us what they need rather than us coming in feeling like we have the answers, because we don't. Like, we don't know what's going to be the best for any area of Hillsborough until we sit down and we talk to the people who actually live in it and know what's going on. And so that's kind of our hope.
Okay. Now, you do have an event planned for April the 21st. And you've had more than one discussion with the city about that. Can you describe that just a little bit?
Yeah. So on April 21st, we're doing a large scale just kind of cleanup of the area. On April 21st, we will be bringing in three large container, like drop off containers, trash containers. Some of the big, like, 30-yard dumpster type things, and dropping them at strategic locations on the street. And then our hope is to flood the street with all of you guys, volunteers willing to pick up stuff, pick up trash. One of the cool things that Ron and I have been talking about is that there are various side streets off of Johnson Street, and we'd like to send families with small children up and down those to pick up trash and just kind of make the area look beautiful. And then for the people actually on Johnson Street, we're offering, you know, basically a large scale clean out, where if they have stuff in their homes or in their garages that they want to get rid of, but they can't, or they can't just throw out with their weekly, you know, trash pickup or whatever, that we're going to offer volunteers to help them do that kind of thing and just try to make that area of the city just a little bit more beautiful during that day.
Okay. Tell us about the meetings you guys have had with the safety service director.
Yeah, the first meeting we had was when we originally started getting things together. We called him up, walk in his office, and kind of lay out the plan. So we had spent probably 3 or 4 months working on the plan. And what was interesting was we didn't really ask him for anything. We were just trying to get their knowledge of what we were going to do, some guidance from them. But halfway through it, he just stopped us and he said, guys, this is the first time anybody's ever came into my office. I've had hundreds of meetings, and everybody has asked for something, and you guys are willing to help us. So we thought that was pretty cool that we don't really need anything from them. We did get some good information, and he was really thankful that we, as a church, were willing to go out and help people.
It was cool because we just had another meeting with him this week, and he doubled down on that. You know, just kind of said, you know, you guys are the first group that's shown up and asked to give as opposed to ask the city for stuff. But it was cool. It was cool because he's also indicated that there are some other groups around town that have heard about what's going on that are beginning to. It's beginning to motivate other groups, other civic organizations, other churches to kind of get involved in their own area, which is pretty sweet. So it's exciting. It's exciting to be a part of it.
Okay, let's talk about what's going to be needed on April 21st.
Right there, 150 volunteers. no, there's tons of things that we can do. We've kind of segregated, like, I call them branch streets. So some of the streets that are running off of Johnson Street towards South Elm, or no, Southeast, we want to have that for like adults that have children, to where they're not going to get into the heavy stuff, the going into the yards and things like that. But they'll basically have a trash bag and just walk along the sidewalk, get stuff at the edge of the streets, around the sidewalks. So that's what we're kind of trying to do there. The main street, Johnson Street, we're going to need trucks and trailers, shovels, rakes, things like that. And we're just going to go door to door and just ask people. We're going to send them out a flyer. We'll have another drop this Saturday that's going to kind of outline what we're going to do. So they'll know we can't take refrigerators and stuff like that, and kind of give them some guidelines. So once we get close to that, and everybody's signed up as volunteers, we may have a short meeting in here to kind of go through some guidelines, because there's some safety issues that we want to talk about, as far as if you run across the needle, if you happen to see drugs laying somewhere. So I'm working with Mark and Brandon to kind of get an outline so they can kind of go through that part of it in case something comes up.
One of the other things that's exciting is I actually am supposed to have a meeting this week with the chief of police about potentially doing a drug drop-off, a discreet, no problems, no charges kind of drug drop-off, so that hopefully, obviously, as many of you guys know, Highland County is one of the center counties in Ohio's opioid epidemic, along with other drugs. And so the hope is that maybe we can be a part of helping clean some of that stuff out too. So our hope is to set up a place on Johnson Street during that particular cleanup day, where we're actually going to provide the opportunity for people to come and to bring any drugs that may be in their house, to bring any prescription medications that they have that they either shouldn't have or need to get rid of or don't know how to dispose of, and we can help clean that part of it out too. So hopefully this is going to result in a lot of good on one day.
Okay, so we need 150 volunteers. We need pickup trucks. This is something that people can do with their children?
Absolutely. Okay. We would encourage it. One of the best ways to show your children the value of service is to actually get them involved, not to go do it, but to take them with you as you do it. And there's going to be opportunities for kids that are young to walk with their parents. We would encourage you, if they're high school, if they're younger than high school, that they be with you. For this, just because that's smart. So if your kid's not in high school, then we would prefer them not to come alone. Just because there's considerations,
there's things,
you
yes.
know, there's things. And so, but you know, we'll have opportunities for kids to pick up trash or to be a part of things or to help out in whatever ways that they can. And certainly we need lots of adults to participate in helping out with this, because there's going to be a lot of things to carry, hopefully a lot of stuff to throw in these dumpsters, and maybe even some yards to help kind of clean up as well.
So there will be different kinds of jobs for
yes.
different physical capabilities.
Yep. Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, one of the things that we would really like for all of you to do is to sign up, okay, to volunteer. Signing up is critically important, and they're going to have a table out. It's
out
at the
today.
Extension table in the atrium. And here's why I would really like you to sign up, okay? We had something happen at our last rice and bean packing event that was unusual for us. And here's what I mean. We had 100 people sign up for the rice and bean packing event, okay? So the company that we work with that sets up the rice and bean packing brought in enough workstations for 100 people. Problem was 175 people showed up, which is awesome. I mean, okay, that demonstrates the heart of this church, and I was so proud that so many people wanted to be involved. Problem was we had 75 more people than we had work area, okay? And so we ended up packing 25,000 meals in under 2 hours. But if we'd had enough workstations for 175 people, we could have probably packed 35,000 meals in the same amount of time, okay? So it's just a logistical issue for us, okay?
So don't do that again.
Okay, I would have been a little more diplomatic than that, but anyway. But please, sign up and get involved in this project, because this is going to be huge for us as a church. Now, on the back of your outline, there's a paragraph there at the top, or a couple of paragraphs, that says, Hillsborough Not As Usual Project. And we would really like you to read that over and kind of embed those concepts in your mind about why it is we're doing this and why we believe that this is so important for the GNG family. Do you have anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, effectively, what's there on the top of your outline is our elevator speech, right? Because what may very well happen is as we're going through this neighborhood and as we're doing all this stuff, invariably you're going to get, because we'd really like you all to wear your GNG t-shirts and all that kind of stuff, right? Because you're going to get asked, what are you doing? Why are you here? All right, we'd like you to have an answer. And we'd like you to have an answer that fits with what we're trying to do. No, we're not trying to come into their area of town and tell them how to live. No, we're not trying to come in and act like we have all the answers. You know, but those paragraphs at the top give you a clear response to a person when they say, why are you here? Well, because we understand that cities can be great places, but cities can also be places where people are disconnected. And that makes... that makes Hillsborough just like any other city. And we want to make Hillsborough not like usual. All right? We want it to be a place of great connection. We want it to be a place where people take care of one another. And we want it to be a place where, you know, we are a part of making life better for the people that live in it, not make life worse. And so that's why we're coming into this neighborhood, and because it's our backyard. Not because of any other reason. This is our section of town. This is our backyard. Hey, if God blesses us and we can take this to other areas of town eventually, that's going to be awesome. But this is where we're starting, because this is our home. And so so we'd love for you guys to really have that kind of thought process embedded into your mind, and come ready with that servant heart, because you may have a conversation with somebody that helps point us in the right direction. We haven't talked to everybody on the street. We've tried to make some connections, and like Ron said, we have a focus group coming this Saturday that hopefully will net us a lot more ideas about the kinds of things that would be beneficial to the people in that area. But we need all the help we can get. So have this kind of embedded in your heart as you head out there to serve.
All right. Well, friends, the question that we have to answer, both individually and as a church family, is will I go with Jesus to a lost and hurting world? And if you've been looking for a way to connect with people who may not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, this is a golden opportunity for you and your family to get involved in reaching out. So let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. Time that you've given us to search your word about who Jesus was and why he came. And Father, it's our hope and prayer that as individuals and as a church family, we would not only understand who he was and why he came, but that we would translate that into action so that we would go out into our world and show Jesus to the people around us. And to spread the good news that he brought to us, of your love. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. And we all agreed together and said, Amen.